My guest at this time is Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Bratt. He is a member of the House Freedom Caucus. He represents the Commonwealth's 7th Congressional District, also a member of the House Budget Committee. He is not a big fan of the new 2-year budget deal worked out between House and Senate leaders on both sides of the aisle. We'll be talking about a few different dimensions here in the next several minutes. Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Greg.
It was just a few months ago you and I were talking about the fact that the House Budget Committee came up with $200 billion in cuts. Now we've got a bill over the next 2 years that'll bump up spending by a net of $200 billion. So what happened here?
Yeah, and actually it's $400 billion now. And then wait till you see what policies get plowed into that $400 billion. So what happened is, Paul Ryan and our leadership did a good job in the House. We passed our budget bill on time, 12 approach bills, pushed over the Senate. They failed. They failed on Obamacare. They failed on keeping their word to the American people on being fiscally responsible. And so usually it's around Christmas time, but now we've had 4 continuing resolutions that have pushed us back to this date. And it basically came down to the House Freedom Caucus plussed up defense spending. And that was our play call from the entire Republican conference was in favor of plus up the military, but nothing else. And we were going to stay as a team on that call. But then leadership got together, went to the Senate. They need 9 Democrats, and it morphed into a Democrat bill in 5 minutes. And they plussed it up to $300 billion. And then when you add in contingency funding, it's $400 billion. And a few hundred pages in, they gave up. They deemed a budget and gave up our ability to do a budget reconciliation again this year in the budget.
That's really important. Go ahead.
It's a huge deal. That's how we tried to get rid of Obamacare, and that's how we passed the very successful tax cut. And so this year we were going to work on welfare reform and maybe some mandatory spending programs because they're $100 trillion unfunded. And now we, for some reason, we just unilaterally disarmed and gave away our power. So right now everyone's throwing everybody under the bus, but the evidence is in, right? We're going to have over $1 trillion deficits as far as the eye can see. And if you're a Republican and you're fine with that, then I don't get it.
Why would the leadership agree to this, specifically Ryan?
Well, just because we got backed into a trap, but he's got to take the boxing gloves and put them on and go over there to Mitch McConnell and say, no, our body is the body closest to the people. We run every 2 years. The Senate basically doesn't want to even have to vote on a budget next year, right? They're scared of their shadow. They got 6 years. And so, unfortunately, none of this has to do with rational policy. No one's in favor of a $1 trillion deficit. And so it's all politics, and it's people protecting their hide and their slide up here, and taking a yes vote is the easy vote, right? You just, sure, yes, yes, yes to everything. Put it on the credit card, and the kids will pay it off. $21 trillion in debt right now. And then this week you saw the $1,000 plummet in the stock market due to wage inflation. And so that wage inflation set off a signal because markets are rational. And they say, uh-oh, here comes interest rates are going to bump up, right? Once wages bump up, that's a huge part of the price index. And we're going to have inflation, interest rates going up, and then you got to pay off $21 trillion in debt at normal interest rates, like 3 or 4 or 5%. And that is going to be hugely costly, and so the markets properly recognize that.
Congressman, we're talking with Virginia Congressman Dave Bratt. And, sir, you have called this a Christmas tree on steroids. You've explained the $400 billion in additional spending, the Republicans surrendering the right to use reconciliation. You said, wait till you see what other programs are in here. What's in there?
Well, there's some good stuff, right? I mean, there's opioid stuff. But then it's just across-the-board spending increases not paid for, right, on infrastructure and all the other stuff that we want to do. And then, to make matters worse, Nancy Pelosi is threatening no House Democrat votes for any of this after she gets everything she wants, right? Schumer said this is a great bill. When you got Schumer saying this is a great bipartisan bill and the Republicans are in charge of the House and the Senate and the White House, you might have a problem on your hands. And so Pelosi says if you don't offer up a DACA solution, she's not going to let her folks vote. We do have a DACA solution. That's kind of ironic, too. We're going to take care of all 700,000 kids living in the shadows, give them a pathway to working and a new status. And the Democrats don't seem to be able to take yes for an answer, right? I guess they want a political issue in November instead of helping the kids.
Well, they want pathway to citizenship and none of the restrictions, or at least very few of the restrictions, I believe. But let's get back to the deficits that are piling up here, because I'm sure you've seen this. I've seen it in response to other members of the Freedom Caucus and elsewhere, Jim Jordan, Justin Amash, saying this is a terrible bill, we can't do this. And their critics are piling on Twitter, you've probably seen it too, saying, how can you say that when you just voted to add $1.5 trillion to the debt with the tax cut? What do you tell them? How is it different?
Oh, it's totally different. I did a PhD in economics, and I did my PhD on economic growth. And you got to compete with the mainstream media who doesn't know anything about economics. And so all you need is an additional 0.75% economic growth to pay for our tax cut, right? I mean, in total. And so when you put together the regulatory relief we already have and the tax cut bill itself, the bill itself won't pay for all of it, but the economy is more than compensating for it. So all you got to get, we're only at 1.5 or 2. So if you get to 2.75 growth, you pay for it. And the Fed of Atlanta has us growing at 5.4 next quarter. So we're doubling the growth we need to pay for it. But the mainstream media doesn't like to deal in facts or economic logic. And so we get rolled on every story, right? They just put out the story. And so that was only $150 billion a year, which is paid for. The deal we just struck in 5 minutes with the Democrats just raised the deficit $300 billion, which is double the tax cut amount. And the tax cut does pay for itself, but government spending does not pay for itself. And so, I mean, that's Econ 101. And unfortunately, I don't think the Democrats took the class.
Two quick questions before we let you go. You mentioned Nancy Pelosi without a DACA attachment here may not let any Democrats vote for it. So given the Freedom Caucus members who don't like this, like yourself and several others, are there going to be the votes to pass it, or will they have to redo this?
Well, I think the Democrats in the end are going to offer the votes because they got a Democrat bill through. I mean, so the Republican base and the folks who – the independents, I hope the independents make their voices known, because we need them to say, look, we need fiscal sanity for our kids. You cannot be piling up a $1 trillion deficit every year. And so hopefully – and we have the Goodlatte bill in, so Paul Ryan can offer that up. He promised he would whip that bill and vote on it, and he promised that. We'd do it last week. We still haven't got to it. And so we're looking forward to making progress on that issue. And then, you know, when you do allow 700,000 folks in, that's going to send a signal to the rest of the world. So then you have to have other policies in place to accommodate those unintended consequences. And that includes an end to chain migration and E-Verify. And so it all works together very well. It's been thought out for 20 years. And all the Democrats voted for it, right? Schumer was for this. Nancy Pelosi was for it. Bill Clinton back in 95 gave a stirring speech on it. And so it's only in the last year the Dems have just gone hyper-partisan after Trump won the presidency.
Last question, sir. Obviously, the argument is going to be you can't get to 60 in the Senate without getting some Democrats, so you got to make some concessions. But when folks look at the fiscal restraint promises made by Republicans over the years, and we didn't see a lot of it when the GOP controlled everything from 2003 to 2007, and now we get a bill like this. What's the main reason for it? Is it because it's not as big of a priority to a lot of people as they might claim on the campaign trail? Or is it just unpopular with the voters because eventually you're going to get to something that they don't want cut and they're going to blame you for it and they don't want to deal with it?
Well, there's a lot of truth in what you just said in both of those statements. And so that is a reality. People run on it. They say all the right things. But then when it comes time to fight for the principle, it is tough, right? The easy vote up here is just yes. But at the same time, we're doing tax cuts, and you got $4 trillion on the Fed's balance sheet, which is hyper-stimulative. And now we're then going to do an extra $300, $400 billion deficit. That's also stimulative. And so Econ 101 says you better slow it down here at some point in time. And this is the time when the economy is doing well, and the kids are getting jobs again, right? They're getting multiple job offers. This is the time to work on welfare reform and get everybody into the workforce so they can use their God-given gifts and talents. And we want everybody to be a success. And we're, Paul Ryan has been great on that over the years, right? He's got all the, he developed the literature on how to get people out of poverty traps and give them a life that they want to live, using, following their passions, et cetera. So the Republicans are trying to be positive. The Democrats keep falling back to kind of 1960s thinking based on the old manufacturing economy. And we got to do better than that for our folks.
Well, Congressman, you have told us many times that it's not as far into the future as people think that we're going to be running into some real fiscal problems when it comes to how much of the budget is taken up with entitlements. And it sounds like we're pushing the gas pedal even harder now.
Yep. You got it.
Sir, as always, good to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Greg. Have a great day.
You bet, sir. Virginia Republican Congressman Dave Bratt represents his state's 7th Congressional District, member of the House Budget Committee and the House Freedom Caucus. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.